Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
Chris Ross, Operations Director and Talent Buyer at Blues Alley.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us, man. Your venue's awesome, one of my favorites, but it's a weird, weird time we're living in. This year has been so bizarre, and it's upended so many things, particularly the live concert industry. Before we dive into all of that and the financial challenge and everything, big picture it for me. Remind our listeners, first of all, the great things about it. Let's remind us of the history. Are you guys the oldest continually operating jazz supper club? Is that how we have to word it?
It's something like that. Yeah. Oldest continuing jazz club. It's one of the oldest jazz clubs in the world. We opened the doors in 1965 in July. We've never been closed for an extended period of time until now. In fact, there was a wall separating the bar area from the performance space, and in like 82 they tore down that wall and weren't even closed. They just put a tarp up for a couple of days. But we've hosted internationally renowned concert hall artists, mostly in the jazz field, R&B, some blues, and some other stuff like folk and Americana, I guess is kind of what they call it now. Our whole sort of claim to fame is the intimacy of the room. We seat about 125 people, and literally there are people's living rooms that are bigger than this place. And it's just a very special place to me. Of course, I'm biased, but I mean, one, to be around for 55 years, and two, to have the staff retention and the artist retention. I mean, we've had artists that have specifically told me that they've turned down higher offers just because they like playing the club. I mean, we it's been run at like a family, by a family. I think we're on its third or fourth owner, maybe. But that's sort of it, man. We try to treat everybody like a family, try to treat our customers well, and just provide one of a first-class entertainment experience.
Awesome. And remind us, too, just giving us a history lesson, like when you guys opened in, I guess, what, 1965, explain how Georgetown was the place to be for music, and some of the famous venues that have since folded, and how, you remind us some of those venues and how you're like the last one left.
Man, Georgetown was a spot. There were probably 10, maybe 12 different live music venues. In fact, there was a picture that I saw of, I can't remember the guitarist. Yeah, that's the one, George Thorogood, where he was playing at the cellar door and actually walked out while still playing across the street to the Crazy Horse. And I guess their artists walked back across the street. I mean, people, it was that close. There were so many places. The cellar door probably being the most famous of them all. Had a ton, that was an incredible club. The Bayou, which is now gone. The Saloon, which was like a jazz dive bar that was around for years. We were basically one of the last venues standing. We are the last venue standing in Georgetown, and one of probably the last venue standing in its original location.
Yeah, because didn't Gypsy Sally's close even before the pandemic?
Yeah, they did their last show New Year's Eve, 2019.
Wow. So but yeah, you guys are the last vestige of that old scene.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. Remind us, you kind of alluded to it that you've had internationally acclaimed artists play there. Run through some of them. Who were some of your famous ones over the years?
Let's see. Dave Brubeck, Dizzy Gillespie, Sarah Vaughan, Wynton Marsalis probably recorded one of his greatest albums there. Eartha Kitt, Harry Connick Jr. We did Boz Scaggs, War, Average White Band, Phyllis Hyman, Eva Cassidy, Chuck Brown, from local to international, they've played our stage.
Awesome. All right, and then so let's get into why we set up this call. I know you guys, you put out a message on your website saying that for now we're gonna have to go to virtual here, sort of. Timeline it for me chronologically, if you can. Where were you guys situated, I guess in March when all this stuff started? Like, were you thinking, all right, maybe we'll be back by the summer? And then obviously, like everything else, you're like, holy crap, this thing is still going on forever. Timeline it for me.
I think we were in the same boat as everybody else. I mean, I'm talked to this with a couple of friends in the industry of just how disappointing this whole thing was. Because for me, as the talent buyer and booking the schedule, we were having one of our best years ever. January was the highest ticket sales we've had, I think, ever. And it was just going in. Some of the music we had booked was just setting up to be just a phenomenal year. So we were rolling along, and then right at sort of the end of February, that first week in March, all of a sudden ticket sales just stopped for all shows, the ones up and coming. And we went through that final weekend of the 15th, March 15th, the 12th through the 15th was our last run of shows with Joey DeFrancesco, great organist, trumpet player. Now he has had saxophone to his repertoire, but he was the last show on March 15th. And we were thinking the same boat of everybody else that, you know, 60 days, maybe 90 days, we'll be back at it. So we sort of rescheduled what we could for the fall, even though most of the fall, I mean, as any entertainment venue, you know, when you have to schedule stuff pretty far out in advance. And for us, we're at least 6 months, 9 months, a year out on the weekends. So to make moves was not the easiest thing, but we did what we could. We pushed some to the next year, and we got some in the fall. And then it's just as this thing went along, our mayor has just, I mean, say what you want, she saved lives, but she's just kept the sort of the foot on the brakes, and we've just been sitting in neutral with the rest of the world, just waiting for something to happen. And now it just seems that we're now at the point where we're just going to be chasing this thing around till there's a vaccine. So I don't see us. I can't see a sold out Blues Alley show, no matter where it is, or a sold out 9:30 club show. Probably what, till fall next year, if we're lucky, before the vaccine and confidence is back to where people, you know, feel to go into a room with 100% capacity to, you know, to the legal capacity. I mean, that's just. How can you see it without a vaccine? And then once the vaccine's created, I mean, how long before it's readily available?
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, just trying to read the tea leaves, I think you're right in terms of timeline. But even it's so mind-boggling to hear you say it. You know, you can think it, but when you say it out loud, fall 2021, you're like, oh my gosh, that's so far. Like, how is that even sustainable? Like, how does Blues Alley, or, you know, you mentioned 930 Club, or any of the places in DC, like, how are you even able to survive that long with that without revenue?
No way. I can't imagine there is a small business right now that isn't sort of deemed, I'm doing the air quotes thing, deemed essential, that isn't teetering on bankruptcy or closure. I mean, it's just impossible. I mean, people, even the best of businessmen can't sustain no revenue, or best of business plan, best of business plans can't sustain without incoming revenue with everybody's got some kind of overhead, be it equipment lease, some kind of contract with a cleaning company, or lease, a mortgage, you know, everybody's got some kind of bill that the clock is still ticking. So at some point, I mean, it just makes more sense to shut it down, wait to see what happens on the other side. I mean, I've been using the analogy, we're just sitting in a tunnel with both ends dark, just like with no light at either end. You can't go back. You can't plan ahead. You're just stuck at the whim of this unseen, you know, killer.
Yeah. I mean,
businesses and people.
What was that at the end?
I said of businesses and people. I mean, this thing, it's ridiculous. And it's kind of sad just that we're in the situation that we are supposed to be, the shining light beacon on the hill kind of thing.
Yeah, especially when, you know, it's insane. I know I'm our entertainment guy, so I won't talk politics too much.
Yeah, we'll stay out of politics. I mean, say what you will, but it's just, we are where we are, and it's a shame that we're here. No matter how we got here, we're here, so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'll echo what you're saying. It's wild. You say we're supposed to be the shining beacon on the hill, and then you see other countries that got out ahead of it, and they're starting to get back to normal other place. I mean, I think I saw yesterday or something, Canada, all of Canada, as huge as it is, had way fewer cases than just Maryland. If you really want to think about it, Maryland, the state of Maryland, which is one of the best states in terms of dealing with this, you know, numbers wise, has way more cases than all of Canada. That shows how behind we are on this thing. So anyway, you mentioned there's a ticking clock for you guys. Do you have a sense of, you know, I'm sure you don't have an exact number, but like, what are we talking? Like, if you don't get some help either, you know, federally or private investor or whatever, like if you don't get it, in how long will you guys be kaput?
Well, there is no timeline. I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, like I said, the mayor has pushed the state of emergency. I think extended it to the end of September. I'm talking about the District of Columbia. Mayor Bowser has extended the state of emergency in the district till the end of September, which means that at least we can't get put out. So there's that. But it goes back to my first point. I mean, the meter's still running, and it just doesn't make business sense. Like, even with the, you know, bless their hearts, the National Independent Venue Association that was created to try to get some federal assistance for these independent venues. But say you get some assistance, I mean, what does that tie you over for? A month, 6 months? I mean, even then, like, what are you doing? You're just keeping the lights on? I mean, it just doesn't make sense right now. I mean, to stay open with the hopes of something. Right now, you're just, it's a hope and a prayer, because like, there is no light at the end of the tunnel or behind us. Like, we're just sitting in the dark. I mean, without the conservative effort of the entire globe of taking, you know, a one approach, which is just impossible to happen. We can't even do it in the District of Columbia, much less on a global scale, or in my household, we can't even figure that out. So, but anyway, but unless we're just going to be chasing this thing around until there's a vaccine, because as soon as they open travel, no matter what country you are, there's going to be an infected. There's still going to be somebody that, you know, I hate to say infected, but somebody is going to test positive for this virus, and it's so communicable that it's impossible for not to travel right around. So, I mean, we're just jammed, and everybody's jammed. I feel bad, you know, as a proprietor of an independent venue. You know, I'm sure we'd love to help. As a person, you know, I feel, well, shouldn't we start at a granular level? And so this is where we dive into politics, and I'll get out of this really quickly. But, I mean, shouldn't the people get the help? So, I mean, nobody's special in this, and we're kind of all in the same thing. So your guess is as good as mine, buddy.
Right. I know. And I know you mentioned that you guys don't own your own building, and you don't really have an in with the government. You know, you're not a federally funded thing like Wolf Trapp or Kennedy Center. So do you feel sort of like your hands are kind of tied there?
Well, it is. I know the ownership has been trying to work to buy the landlord, to buy the building from the landlord, or to work out some kind of terms. But to her defense, what is she supposed to do? Is she supposed to give us 50% off, 20% off, 100% off? I mean, you're kind of stuck on that too. Like, and then what do you do? What's the building worth now? Like, what's the business worth now? How do you know that we're even going to be able to come back from this? What if there isn't a vaccine? I mean, you assume that that's going to happen, but it goes back. We just have no light, and there's nothing out there that you can project accurately to plan for. I mean, people have to tour, especially for somebody like us who relies on an artist picking up other venues along the way to actually be able to pay for their tour. Because, I mean, we are a small venue, so we're not paying artists, you know, to stay at the Four Seasons with their entire band and playing for them to, you know, charter planes for them to get here. So, I mean, even the best, biggest tours, it's a mass thing where without being able to go from venue to venue to venue, I mean, artists are screwed, the venues are screwed. I mean, I was reading an article today where, no, it was actually you guys' article on the entertainment thing about how the ripple effect of this whole thing. I mean, it goes from, you know, people coming to see, you know, a venue at Blues Alley, and they're parking across the street at the Colonial Parking. Or, you know, as much as we love it for them to come eat dinner with us, sometimes people's favorite restaurant is Philomena's next door to us. Or Moby Dick, they want to get something quick to eat, you know, or, you know, one of the other restaurants in the area.
Right.
It just has a ripple effect, and it's a community thing, and this thing is affecting all of us. So I don't want it to sound like that, oh, woe is us, you know, they're picking on us, or this thing is picking on us. We're all in this together, and it's kind of, you know, there's no light for anybody that had, you know, in our industry, it's been catastrophic as far as Blues Alley's main thing is lack of social distancing between the artists, between the patrons, between the servers. I mean, there's nothing like you seeing one of your favorite artists and they walk past you and put their hand on their shoulder to get by you. you know, or at the end of the show when they're sitting at the bar, you know, having a drink and talking to people and just, you know, shooting the breeze, where you get that interaction. I mean, that's the whole point of this, the entertainment, what, no matter what medium it is in the arts, it's the sense of community of we're all sort of have this one focus and we're appreciating and sort of all enjoying this one thing. And I mean, we as humans are social beings, and that's something I think we're all missing, let alone in a place where we all make our living.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I want to exactly, you know, the angle exactly, the headline, the kind of that whole thing. And I assume, I mean, partially this is just going to be, you know, taking the temperature of where we are now with the historic Blues Alley. They might have to close, that kind of thing, or can someone step in to save them? It's an open-ended thing, obviously. But what would be your, you know, ideal goal? If, you know, let's say someone's listening to this interview, they hear it on TOP, what would Chris Ross's ideal scenario be? Like some private investor says, oh my God, we can't let it fold, and they reach out to you, or you get
I guess we get funding,
you know, what would be your ideal thing that would happen out of this?
Yeah, we get some angel investor that's like, here, we just want you to have the building, you know, we'll put the money in, we'll fix it all up, and, you know, just we Blues Alley's an institution, you know, that would be the ideal thing. I mean, realistically, it would just be, you know, right now we're holding on. We've started a series online of streaming high definition audio and video concerts from Blue House Studios. We partner with them and just doing shows on Wednesdays and Thursdays. But to go back to this point of the virus, we're trying to make that lateral move, or you try to make that pivot to something, but I'm finding it hard to get artists to even play. I mean, people are spooked by this thing, and it goes back to that too. I mean, how many artists are going to want to go on tour and be, you know, it all circles back into that one thing of like, we just don't know. And even if somebody did come as an angel investor, was like, here's $10 million, man, just be here when we come back. And you know, you do what you can, like we build out the building and, you know, fix everything and make everything beautiful, and then sit there with our hands and twiddling our thumbs till, you know, we get the green light.
That's true. Cause even if you did get the big investment or something, there's a long time before any return on it. You're just basically saying, here, stay open as long as you can. And we all have to wait. God.
I mean, the one thing the owners have said is that Blues Alley, the name, the business is not going away. So at some point we expect to be back open, whether it's still in the same, you know, hole in the wall, literally down an alley in Georgetown, or, you know, we do a move like the 930 Club and move on to a bigger and better thing. There's going to be opportunity once this thing comes back around. But it's just, how long does it take? And what do you do in the meantime? Like, we started, like, go back to the pivot, we call it the Speakeasy series, because we're kind of tucked away and kind of hiding. We're selling some tickets to that. We're doing a live show at 8 o'clock and then a replay at 10 o'clock to kind of keep our format. But I mean, so tell your friend, tune in, buy tickets, help us out, support the community, support live music, support live musicians working, and just keep your fingers crossed, pray, do whatever you got to do to sort of get this thing moving, and hopefully we get a vaccine and everybody will be back whole again, not just us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you sort of gave me the ideal scenario of maybe some angel investor. Give me the flip side. What is the doom and gloom worst case scenario where, hang on, we got a siren going by. Oh, how fitting, right? When I said doom and gloom, an ambulance rides by. So yeah, like what is it, you know, give us the clarion call. What is the, hey, warning listeners, like we need your help now or X?
I mean, it's hard to say that because you don't want to sound, like I said, selfish and kind of like, you know, you're in this by yourself. But support when you can. Buy tickets to our streaming series. Tell your friends, you know, stay and support what you can. I mean, we're all in this together. So I know nobody's sitting there, you know, if you're an essential worker, you're probably too tired to sit through a concert because you've been working your butt off trying to keep the rest of us, you know, in whatever situation we can to the best of their abilities. So, you know, support us if you can, support live music, support arts, you know, support your local business, go to the grocery store, go to your little corner market and stay safe, wear your mask. And, you know, that's about all I can do is hope and wish and pray.
I'm hoping and wishing and praying with you, man. I'm spinning my wheels trying to figure out, you know, entertainment events to cover. So I feel you, man. So it's a crazy ass time. So I appreciate you joining us, and hopefully this at least gets the word out and reminds people of Blues Alley, you know, the institution and why we got to keep it around. So thank you.
Yeah, we're trying to keep – I appreciate it, man. We're trying to keep the name out there. So the Speakeasy Series on Wednesdays and Thursdays, you can get your tickets through bluesalley.com.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, Jason. Keep your fingers crossed, man. We'll keep praying.